For 125-2012, it's Video Games Hot Dog Online. I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
Hello.
I'm Kevin.
Guys,
I'm Riff.
I've decided to try a different approach this time. We're going to do a Judd Apatow style. We're going to record each segment of this podcast 5 times and then only include the funniest one in the final edit.
Hello.
Imagine, audience, I'm how Riff. Bad the other 4 were.
Yeah.
Also, I heard my BFF Brianna told me that if we drink a lot of pineapple juice before we record the podcast, that it will sound a lot better.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I take it she's an expert on such things.
Sure. How's it going, guys? I've been doing almost nothing, so my vote is to keep the what have you been doing that isn't playing video games. I have been playing a lot of video games. That's different than nothing.
We went rock climbing.
What? Nobody cares.
But we did.
I know. We climbed a thing. It was like Kevin climbed like a sissy because his
it
wrist is
like
broken like a car victim.
Very much like one.
Kevin got hit by a car.
Better or worse than it being broken like a boss?
Kevin got hit by a car, and so his wrist doesn't work right.
Yeah, and so it hurt to climb.
Yeah.
And so I have not done so for like 6 or 8 weeks or whatever.
Have you considered maybe having a less limp wrist?
It's possible.
Mm. Okay.
Mm. It's possible.
Yeah. Maybe if you wore heavier loafers, it wouldn't have been
you think
so easy to knock you off your bike. Yeah. You would have flipped ass over tea kettle, landed on your feet, and then been like, check out that cool trick I just did totally on purpose.
Check out that cool tea kettle.
It's weird when you're getting hit by a car how slow motion-y everything is.
Hmm.
You know? Because like, I was like, oh shit, this is going to happen, isn't it? And then I was like, uh-oh. Like, I had a bunch of thoughts.
I'm hurtling towards the pavement.
Yeah, I don't remember that part. It was all the stuff before the impact, and then I was very much like, the next thing I remember was like getting up and getting myself and my bike out of the middle of the road so that I wouldn't be run over by some other car.
Were you worried about your phone? Did you immediately think, fuck, my phone, fuck,
I wasn't
my phone.
Worried about it. In part, I think, because I was about to replace it in like a week or two, which I sort of knew. But yeah, I wasn't worried about that.
And in part because you blamed it for your having not been paying enough attention to avoid getting hit by a car.
No, I was paying plenty of attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those cars, they just pull out of parking lots.
They do.
They slam into dudes.
They do.
You weren't even doing the wrong thing. I hit that guy on a bike once because he was going the wrong way.
Right. I was in the bike lane. I was totally in the right. I had bike lights. I had reflectors. I had everything going on. It was just this one particular parking lot that it is kind of hard to see. I don't fault the guy. Really.
Yeah, it's the parking lot of a blindness clinic.
Yes.
it's a place where you can donate your eyes. It's next to the plasma bank.
Yeah.
And you get $400 and a free glass of orange juice for donating your eyes. Actually, you can donate one of your eyes, and what they repay you in is the ability to see the future, but it turns out it's a scam because you can only see your own death. This is the Krull Clinic. All right.
It turns out it's a scam.
Seriously, though, we're moving right on. What have you been playing? You guys been playing any video games?
Wow.
Mainly just Minecraft.
Yeah?
I've been playing
really?
That Spellbound Caverns that you have apparently been having a lot of trouble
God.
With.
Oh, my God. I tried that for like an hour and just was so
were you
pissed
playing
off for the
on
entire
a
hour.
Group server or on
no,
a
single player?
Single player.
No. Our buddy Dave tried to get a group server going, but then nobody showed up. He threw a party and nobody came. He spent a bunch of time building a castle and planting trees and getting a bunch of resources together in the middle of this thing, and nobody showed
That's
up.
Really sad. I didn't hear about it.
It was in dev chat.
Hmm. Yep. Yeah, I basically, as far as I can tell, it is impossible to make any progress at all in this super difficult thing.
The first time I tried it, I did have a failed run because I squandered the little bit of wood that you start out with and had to start over. But
I mean, mine
I
wasn't even about squandering time. It. Mine was about once you get killed, you are just fucked. Like, once you get killed, it is impossible to recover any of the stuff that you were carrying, even if it is just the one sword that you have.
Hmm. What, I mean, wouldn't you just start over if you get killed, though?
It's hard. It's a pain in the ass to start over, though, because
you have to store a copy of the world.
I mean, it's just enough of a pain in the ass to not want to do it.
Okay.
Right?
It is tricky to get past the beginning bit of it, because you start out with, like, three logs and two torches, and the torches are just enough to get you into the first part of the first tunnel where you can get four coal, which gives you just enough torches to get to the first big chest where there's, which is full of like saplings and wheat seeds and stuff, and that gives you enough resources.
When you say just enough, like what does that even mean, given that you could just get there in the dark, right?
The rate of monster spawning is really greatly increased.
Not being able to see in that tunnel, you would not be able to.
You would not be able to mine a single block of coal before you were dead at the hands of all of the monsters that are in the tunnel. Like it is fucking crazy.
Yeah. I see.
It's absurd.
Yeah, there's a couple of actual spawners in the tunnel, so you couldn't. It's not just natural darkness spawns.
Are they like invisible spawners? Or
no, they're a little bit further down the tunnel. There's kind of like a room that you have to get into. One of them is a skeleton spawner, which was very helpful because I, instead of destroying it, I just lit it up with a torch. And then a little bit later, when I found some iron, I came back with a bucket and converted it into a skeleton destruction and XP farming device. So I have all the
bucket. And that lets you do that?
The bucket lets you move water, which you need to. Most like monster farming devices require having some water in there to move the monsters around for you.
Right. Huh. So you built a monster farm.
Yeah. Built a skeleton farm. So I have all the bone meal and arrows that I could possibly need. And if I'm willing to leave it open on my second monitor for a couple hours while I'm doing other stuff, then I can also use it to farm XP to enchant gear with.
Wow.
Do you find an enchanting table somewhere?
Yeah, there's actually an enchanting table right in that first hallway.
I found, like, a library that you had to run around in, and there were some chests full of stuff. Mm-hmm. There was that one chest with all the pants in it near the spawn. Those are interesting. It saddens me a little bit that they're so ephemeral, right? Because like some patch to Minecraft totally changes the way that the game works. Mm. And these cleverly balanced things that this guy made are suddenly rendered, you know, either trivial or impossible. Like, because he's playing on such a knife edge.
Yeah. A lot of the earliest ones he made, he has been more recently going back and rebalancing them and updating them. Yeah.
So every time he makes a new one, he adds to his workload. Every time there's a new version of Minecraft, he adds to his workload. Hmm. Somebody should give this guy some money if they want him to keep doing the shit that he's doing.
Yeah,
I think he does have like a PayPal donation link on his
Except thread. For probably, hopefully not a donate link because those are only for nonprofits.
Oh.
Is that a real?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a real
thing.
The button. I remember we got hassled by Amazon.
Did we?
Yeah, because they have a button. They have like an interface element that says donate, which we didn't use. And they were like, "We just want to make sure you weren't using that. See you later."
Yeah.
I don't know. What are you gonna do? Not take PayPal? I mean,
no, not take donations.
If there was any alternative, what else have you been playing, Rifts?
That's really been about it. Just that and the assignment.
Just
I haven't even played any Skyrim this past week.
Mm-mm. You have.
Yep, I have.
Heaven.
Yeah.
How's that going? Did you do anything exciting? Have you learned anything new?
I maxed out my enchanting and my smithing, and I'm well on my way to maxing out my alchemy.
Did you take all the smithing perks, or have you just doing one side of it?
I was pissed because I was like, oh, I'm going to be super clever. I'm going to go up the light side. And then I'm going to wrap around and get Daedric.
Yep.
And they don't fucking let you.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
That got me too. That was why I ended up farming out three levels to get the other side of that tree.
Yeah, I don't know. That was definitely not in my plan of how I was going to spend all of my perk points.
Yeah.
So now I don't know what I'm going to do.
I mean, it makes a certain amount of balance.
Then they shouldn't fucking connect them. They should have two ends that are both
they
dragon.
Should have an arrow
two identical per I mean
or something.
I can understand why they did it the way that they did, but I can also understand why you're upset.
Right. Like there was nothing that indicated that was the way that it was going to behave. I was very disappointed.
I knew that. I must have read it somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe you just should have done your homework, buddy.
I guess it's the game is in a weird state for me. There are a bunch of places in the game that I just do not want to go because everything that I've encountered in those things causes my character to do a bunch of shit that I don't want to do or get quests that I don't want to finish because they make my character be an asshole.
You're such an emotional role player.
Well, no, I just like I had decided to play this character a specific way. And now they're like, they're forced. If I want to do all these quests, they're forcing me to be a total asshole.
I've just been kind of dealing with that. I've got this sort of picture of my character in my head as someone who started off, you know, wanting to just be a member of the Thieves Guild but who has fallen into darker and darker times and is kind of troubled by that. I've been meaning to actually write a little story and post it on Unlockable
Hub. I didn't even want to really join the Thieves Guild per se.
Here's a question. Why not just make a save at the point which you haven't done anything that you feel is unpleasant or out of character.
So far. And then, I've backed up
a bunch. And then go do all of the evil stuff. Go do the Dark Brotherhood stuff so that you can see it. And then go back to your guy that all he does is pick flowers and the wings off of butterflies.
I feel bad for the butterflies, kind of.
I feel bad for that one bunny I killed that it keeps reminding me of every time I go to look at the stats screen.
Aww. Yeah, see, I still haven't committed any crimes. I've trespassed a couple times,
I guess. You figure out a way to kill negative one bunnies.
That's
cancel
true.
That out.
Yeah, maybe some kind of Scarlet Nernroot bunny. Did you either of you run into that bug?
No.
When you're gathering the Scarlet Nernroot, if you put it in a container, I don't know exactly what caused the bug to happen, but I ended up with negative Scarlet Nernroot.
Yeah, in the quest tracker thing. So I thought maybe you were making a joke because when I said, if you could figure out a way to make an additional bunny, I immediately started thinking, well, the game should just let you fuck a rabbit, which would then give birth to another rabbit. But then maybe that rabbit would be so reviled by its compatriots in the hutch that they would make it wear a Scarlet Nernroot.
Oh, I see.
Like, I thought that's where you were going with
that.
Wow.
That was a long way down the road.
No, it was. And I was like, wow, that riff is usually not... Riff usually doesn't say shit that stupid. So I was surprised, but...
I think what I'm going to continue to keep moving forward and just finding all the areas that I'm hesitant to go to until the end and then start just decide that my character has become an asshole and play through all the other shit. But it's frustrating to me. It's a weird place to be.
It is weird because I feel like you want there to be a game where you can be a good guy or a bad guy, but then if it's like they spend a lot of time on the bad guy stuff, you want a game where you can, wait a minute, I want to see all the content that the nice developer man's made for me, but I don't want to have to do anything that offends my delicate sissy sensibilities.
I wonder if they just expected people to not do everything on one character and play multiple characters.
They had to have, right?
I think that's a naive expectation because people are going to want to do that and they're going to be upset if they feel like there are roadblocks in the way of them doing that.
I mean, they certainly don't seem to have included any major quests that get shut off by decisions you've made in previous quests.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can only join either the Stormcloaks or the...
Okay, well, yeah, except for
That's a major early one that, like, oh. Because you had told me that there were no quest lines that get blocked off by anything, and so that
I have yet to join either the Stormcloaks or the Empire.
Okay,
like so. I mean, maybe I just was not aware of those quests.
Yeah, those are mutually exclusive. You join one, and it says failed to join the other one.
Huh?
And I was like, great, cool. I just failed my first quest.
Who'd you join?
I went with Stormcloaks. Same
here.
It just seemed like the natural choice because you were about to be executed by the other side. And I was like, I don't think I want to join that side.
In case you guys had been like teetering on the edge of your chair in suspense when I was like, what's that mech warrior mech that I like a lot? It's a Mad Cat.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Not a Stormcrow.
Oh, that's been a
or
while.
A Timberwolf, but a Mad Cat. I looked it up.
Good. They make all those PS3 controllers.
Yeah, they're real like... shitty Guitar Hero guitars. Yeah.
I've decided that the Thalmor are assholes, so I don't feel bad about killing them just from a distance with a bow, because I can kill anything from a distance.
Even though they're not hostile.
Well, they
they get hostile once you kill a bunch of them from a distance with a bow.
They draw their swords on you if you approach them, and they sort of like this is the official Thalmor build, and then one of them tried to kill me and a note on him that was like, this guy's an asshole, you should kill him. And I'm like, oh, well.
It's on, Thalmor.
Exactly.
I feel like it's weird that there's the Thalmor and the Thalmor.
Yep. Yeah. That is a little strange.
I mean, they all of the elf species have, like, because even the orcs are actually, like, the Ordmer or something, right? Like, Orsimer?
Orimer? Like, well, there's the Orsinium, which is their, like, or. There's Orichalcum. which is the orc.
Is that a real thing? Is orichalcum a real thing?
In the world? In like our world?
In our world, yeah.
I don't know.
It is, I've never heard of it. It is a mineral word that I've heard before, but I think it's a D&D mineral word.
Okay. It's like trinitite.
Yeah.
It reminds me of trinitite. It's like green glass from a nuclear explosion, because that's how the orcs got started.
That's where they make all the shitty beer bottles from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's why Rolling Rock tastes bad. A rule of thumb, beer that comes in a green bottle, don't drink it. But it's not because of something that happens as a result of that. It's that beer, that the bottles are radioactive, and they make the beer taste like shitty mutant.
And they'll make you
cancer.
Impotent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it impotent or sterile? It's like if you accidentally smoke a pot seed in a bowl. That either makes you impotent or sterile. And if it's like, if it's sterile,
a 50-50 chance
if it's sterile, who cares? Yeah, it's weird. If you smoke two pot seeds, you'd think that would go up to 100%, but you'd be wrong. You should have gone to statistics class instead of staying home smoking pot and trying
only 70,
and failing to fuck
75%.
Your girlfriend.
So besides Skyrim, I've only played a couple games. I played some more Layton. And I'm getting so fucking tired of wandering around that goddamn town.
Hmm.
I just want to do some puzzles. And, like, there's so few and far between at this point that it's...
Just go forward with the plot progression and go back to Granny's shack afterwards.
Super annoying.
There's glitter on the mattress.
Yeah. I played a game that was recommended to us by a listener.
Is that Redder?
Redder.
I played a few minutes of that today. Did you beat it?
Yeah,
did you do it all?
I 100%ed the regular game and found one of the secrets. And I was like, you know, I could probably go through and try to find the other ones. But
how long did you spend doing that?
An hour. It's a short game.
I played it for like 5 minutes, and I was like, you know, only getting this far in 5 minutes means I don't actually want to spend. Like, I did not want to play that game for an hour.
I don't know why they did this. And this
for our listeners, what game, and for me, what game are you talking
Redder.
About? Redder. Oh, I thought that was the name of the person that...
No, the name of the game is Redder.
Oh, okay.
It's a very sort of generic kind of flash puzzle platformer type game. Hmm. There's a bunch of other games that have been in that same kind of vein. It's not like the Robot Wants It Kitty games where you get power-ups. You basically don't change your abilities at all throughout the course of the game. What does happen, which is a little weird, is as you collect more and more crystals, which is the sort of point of the game begins to degrade. Like the music starts fucking up and the screen starts getting weird.
That's
becomes
pretty cool.
It becomes harder and harder to actually play the game because it's harder to tell what the fuck is going on.
Huh.
And then when you finally get all the crystals, it changes fundamentally and you're like,
That's interesting. Did you ever play Eversion?
I did not play Eversion.
It is a, you know, sort of a simple Super Mario type platformer, but with the mechanic of being able to flip back and forth into sort of parallel universes.
Okay.
And the further you, and of course, flipping, you know, causes, you know, blocks to open. And
right.
Because different things turn into other things, which maybe this time you can pass through it instead of what it previously was. But each further out universe in the chain becomes gradually more and more evil and disturbing looking.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one complaint I had was it didn't make any sense why it was doing this.
Hmm. Well, I mean, were the crystals the things that were powering reality? I mean,
they were powering the ship. Mm. I think they were like fuel for the ship is the best I could like.
It's like playing that game where the enemies are files on your hard drive, and when you blow them up, it deletes them.
That's pretty great.
That's such a great idea.
The best idea. I don't. Does anybody remember the name of that or where it actually came from? Like,
we could look it up.
Yeah, we could. I just because if our listeners don't know about that, that is actually sort of a in a like Douglas Hofstadter sense. That's kind of a fascinating idea. It was just the game that you should never, ever run.
There is that network management software based on the Doom engine where every process running on your network was a Doom zombie and you could shoot them to shut that process down.
Nice. What else have you been playing, Kevin?
The other game I played was Amazing Breakers. There were 20 more levels to that. Fuck that game, man.
You only hate it because
99%
of your
every
illness.
Fucking time.
You only hate it because of your serious psychological problems.
He hates stained glass.
It's beautiful. That game
is so pretty. It's not that pretty.
It's so pretty. Maybe it's because you're not playing it on a Retina display.
I am playing it on a Retina display now.
I can't lord that over you anymore.
I know.
You actually have a nicer phone than I do. How? But, Kevin, which one of our dicks is bigger? I can't tell anymore.
I mean, with the high-resolution screen, we should be able to tell, right?
Sure. All right. You take a picture of mine, and I'll take a picture of yours. Let's dick time.
Yeah.
That's it.
Fuck. What is it called?
You're finding the game.
I'm trying to delete the shit off of your hard drive. Yeah, shit, man.
Well, speaking of glitchy bullshit, I can talk briefly about my experience trying to play Star Trek Online.
Yeah.
Which went free to play.
Lose.
In the middle of last week. Lose.
Yeah.
Is what it's called.
So like lose/lose. It's like instead of win-win.
Okay. Yeah. Lose/lose. Look it up and read about it, but don't play it.
Yeah.
Or do. Play it and then tell. Play it and then later on when you get another computer and can get back on the internet, tell us about it. Remember, there was always a rumor that on like an Apple IIe, there was a poke that you could run in BASIC that would set the monitor on fire.
Huh, I'd never heard that. That could possibly be true, though.
It could, yeah, actually.
Is that possible?
I think so. I think I read about it, and it was. It wasn't just a single poke, but it was because poke just put a value into memory, and you could do a thing that would cause the monitor to just focus the beam on a single spot. And so it would eventually heat up and burn through the glass and blow up the computer. I don't know if that's real or not, but it was like a legend.
Well, that's a Mythbusters I'd like to see.
The legend of the hidden poke. It's like the brown noise. Like if you could just figure out the frequency and play it.
I guess there's poop. I think I heard about a similar thing where you could send data to your
glasses.
To your hard drive controller or your floppy controller in such a way that it would cause it to vibrate itself apart.
So Star Trek Online went free to play, and I
made
a dude, and I played it for a little while, and I did not actually get all the way through the tutorial.
Weren't we going to do that as a group quest?
Were we?
I thought so. You talked about it.
We could, maybe, at some point.
Okay.
I don't know if there's a Mac client or not.
Yeah.
So it might be impossible to do. I can't imagine that they made enough money to fund the development of a Mac client if they didn't release one to begin with. But
that's true.
So I did the tutorial, and it's like, you're on a something. You're in space.
Did you kiss any alien boobs?
No. Any boobs? No.
Alien boobs?
There's some Borgs, and you shoot them, and then it's...
Really?
It is alarmingly...
Right in the tutorial?
Like, the controls are pretty bad. Yeah. So what they did, the tutorial was pretty interesting. I know that a lot of people complain, like, you know what? Like, I know that you guys, as game developers, are capable of making it so I can't get killed in the tutorial. So why are you going to all of the trouble of coming up with a fictional justification for me not being able to get hurt? Like, just make it seem like I'm in danger, but there's really no danger. Yeah. Don't make me go through a simulation of some real danger in the context of the game. Which is not always, like, Wing Commander, that was awesome. Like, the video game in the bar that you could play that was, like, a simulation of space combat to let you practice, like, that was fucking great. Hmm. Wasn't exactly a tutorial, but, like, it kind of acted as one. Yeah, you're on the space station, and there's some Borgs that you gotta kill. Running around, especially after playing good MMOs, really feels like shit. Like, you're sort of ice skating the whole time, you know? Like, you're...
Or just it feels bad.
The place that your feet land is not... doesn't stay the same from step to step. I mean, it's like
slipping around covered ice.
I feel like we have no idea what the fuck we're doing when it comes to making a 3D game. And if we made a 3D game, it would probably have the same kind of shitty bullshit. So I'm not like, what the fuck is wrong with you developers? It's just like, okay, this isn't very good.
Mm-hmm.
And just like it's unresponsive and the interface is super, super complicated and confusing, which...
Do you use a tricorder?
I think is largely attributed to the fact that later on, I think you're going to have a bunch of dudes. Like, you're controlling an entire away team, right? Like, so the interface is for managing a party and not for managing just a guy. So then you do some stuff.
So there's
like a
DJ section, and then there's like a snacks section, and then like there's alcohol.
Yeah.
Okay.
After a while, it's like, oh, fuck, the captain of your ship died, and so did everybody else who outranked you. So you just went from ensign to captain real fast, and now you're the captain of a ship. And you're like, woo. You know, which is cool. I didn't want the 3 months of, now you have to go to this class at Starfleet Academy. Now you have to go to this class at Starfleet Academy. Oh, and the only fun shit you get to do is in the holodeck.
You could do the Kobayashi Maru.
So
then you have to go and fly around and shoot some Borgs in space. And the space combat seemed like it might actually be kind of cool. But then it's like, now it's time to learn to do an away team mission. You get your first whore. I'm assuming that everybody does what I did and just make her into a total whore. Because you can put like real little mini skirts on the, you know, the old school Star Trek mini skirts. You can put like a halter top. She was one of those blue aliens with the face antennas, but some juicy ass titties. That was just the default option. I didn't even move the juicy slider up all the way. I was just like, oh, okay. Wow. This is clearly what you want me to do with this whore. So then you take her down to a planet. And then it's like, all right, go talk to Captain Sparrow. And okay, so you go talk to Captain Sparrow.
Captain Wolf Chow.
And then he says, now talk to Lieutenant Chalmers. And you go talk to Lieutenant Chalmers. And then your quest tracker says, go talk to Captain Sparrow again. But Captain Sparrow doesn't have the thing over his head that lets you talk to him. And you run up and you click on him and it doesn't do anything. And you try to go back to the last person you were supposed to talk to and you click on them and it doesn't do anything. And so you're like, huh. So then I log off, log back on, and then I can talk to Captain Sparrow. So I talk to him, and the quest continues. I'm like, okay, that was bullshit.
Shitty,
What kind of, like, this is the tutorial, right? Like, so this is the part that I know from my marginal experience in developing games. One of the people at your company did this 1,000 fucking times and is sick to death of it, but still should have known. If this was happening, right?
Yeah, wow.
Talk to that guy. He's like, all right, so I need you to kill 8 Borg dudes and rescue some colonists. So you go around to where the colonists are and you shoot some Borg dudes with your sweet.
Too bad that there wasn't there wasn't one more, because then it would be Borg Nines.
You kill them in earnest.
Kill the Borg Nines, Ernest.
That strikes me as fundamental. I mean, this is typical for MMO quests, but that's just fundamentally weird narratively.
That
kill eight Borgs, not just any Borgs you happen to see.
sure. Yeah, you kill these particular 8. The other ones, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, we know that 4 of 8 was on here earlier, so clearly there are just 8 of them.
Just
kill them all.
But I mean, you just got to go rescue some of the colonists, and then it's like, oh, okay. So I went and did that, and I shot them, and then I went back to the guy.
You shot the colonists.
He moved me on to the second stage of the quest, which was walk over to these Borg structures and sabotage them. So I'm like, okay. So I look on my minimap and I see where one of the Borg structures are, and I spend not a lot of time, but like maybe 45 seconds running from the base to this Borg structure. And as I'm walking up to it to figure out like where do I click on it or what do I do to actually sabotage us, I suddenly blink back with no explanation to the base.
Huh.
And I was just like, okay, I'm going to log.
Wait, did that count as you having...
No, it did not give me credit for anything.
Lost contact with the server?
I don't know. I don't know what the fuck happened.
That might have been... That's the kind of behavior that, been, like, that
right?
happens
yeah,
when
it
you
is
lose
the kind
contact
of
with a server.
If you lose a server. But I was fighting stuff on the way. Like, it was a...
Yeah, that could have all been local.
Yeah. I don't know what happened, but wow. It was annoying. And I was like, you know what? Even under the best of circumstances, the rest of this is still going to be Star Trek.
I don't know.
Dang. I mean, I like a Star Trek, but I'm not going to, like, I don't want to play a video game.
It is of paramount importance that we all play this game.
The entire next generation of gamers depends on us having collected this experience.
Having undergone this enterprise.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know about any of that. It was also a game, and this has gotten to the point where it really bothers me when a game does this. It defaults to full screen, but it does not default to the native resolution of your monitor, and it makes you do a whole bunch of shit before it lets you change the resolution.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, it's just like you know. Again, I know this isn't that big of a deal, and I know that this is like not most people. Well. Do you think that most people know when they're running something at not native resolution? Do you think people care? And the number of times that I, like, when LED monitors were first becoming a thing, like when I was at the end of my tenure working at the ISP. Yeah, no, LED monitors. When the quartz crystal.
Super low quality monitor.
Yeah, we're a light bright.
Yeah.
We're plugging just a Simon into their VGA port. Towards the end of my tenure as the installer guy for the internet service provider, I started going out to people who were like, if they spent a ton of money on a computer, they would have a flat screen monitor. And I would say that 95% of them were not running it at native resolution.
It's tough for me to know what it mean when you mean by like do most people, because I don't have a good sense of like how savvy the average computer user is. I'm guessing if YouTube comments are any indication that the average computer user is not savvy.
Right.
The when average they see, computer user is a lizard.
When they see that their monitor is running at non-native resolution, they will say, "Why ooh so blurry, faggot?" and then set the monitor on fire.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Non-native resolution drives me fucking nuts.
It's not and my favorite.
Being forced, that's why like I was putting together the hardware to build a MAME cabinet back in the day. And yeah. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna buy a tube monitor for this.
Oh.
So that
it doesn't
it just so that it just doesn't matter. Mm. Like so that no matter what resolution MAME throws this thing into, the pixels will be squares. And non-blurry squares.
Yeah. Huh. That's an interesting choice.
Yeah. I also played some Diablo 3, but I'm going to save that for the news okay. section because there's some news about Diablo 3. The thing that I played that I think I was the most interested in, though, was the Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning demo that came out.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's a dumb name, and everything is written by R.A. Salvatore, so it's kind of overwrought. One of the things I wrote down, I didn't have my... I forgot to bring the Post-it on which I took all my notes to the office with me, and so I had to call my girlfriend and have her read this, have her transcribe my horrible, horrible handwriting. And the first thing she said was, "Fucking EA account," you wrote on this post.
Oh, is this an Origin game?
Well, sort of.
Okay.
I guess. So it turns out you didn't need an EA account to play this demo, but it doesn't tell you that. It doesn't make it clear that you don't need it. It's until you can hit close, which seems like it's going to close the program, but what it's actually doing is opting out of associating an EA account with your installed copy of the game, which means you won't be able to get any, like, you can unlock some shit in the demo that it then gives to your character once you buy, if you buy the full game, right? But I didn't know that that's all it did, and so what I did was I was like, okay, let me sign up for an EA account. It's like, there's already an account with this email address. I'm like, well, of course there is. Mm-hmm. Let me try a bunch of the passwords that I might have used when I was setting this account up. And none of them worked. So then I went and I did the password reset for the EA account, which then when it's like, hey, type in what you want your new password to be, their bullshit restrictions just made it so I can't use any of the passwords that I normally use on things. Right. Largely because my default set of password generation algorithms is
the URL plus sucks balls
results in passwords that are too secure for the restrictions.
Right.
That
too many characters,
they're putting up too many characters or non-alphanumeric characters or whatever. Like right. I'm giving people deep hints into how I generate my passwords. But and then I was like, all right, fuck, and I finally got it set up and I played the game. But then like the next day when I went to play The Old Republic, I couldn't fucking log in because apparently my EA account is actually my Star Wars The Old Republic account. And so
what?
By playing this random demo and dealing with all this horseshit.
Oh, because EA
because EA owns BioWare and it's like wow. So I was like, what the fuck happened? I can't play Star Wars The Old Republic. So I had to go back, reset my Star Wars The Old Republic password. I didn't make the connection at first, right? So I went to reset my Old Republic password. Then that said it worked, and I was able to log into the website with it, but I wasn't able to log into the game with it because there's some kind of lag in that data getting sent over,
propagated,
like pushed over to their authentication servers. So I'm like, wait a minute. This says EA on it. So I tried the bullshit password that I had made up the day before to play this demo and was able to get in that way. And then the next, it was like oh,
lame.
My God. So the guys, the lead designer of Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning is the guy that was the lead designer on Oblivion. And he's been all over the podcast that I listened to recently. He was on Weekend Confirmed and Giant Bombcast, like within the space of a week or so. I was like, you know, I kind of want to play this. Like, this is being set up to be like a competitor to Skyrim, but boy, it's not.
Yeah.
It's kind of balls. It's it has a lot of potential, and there's a lot of cool, it's very colorful.
When I was in high school, R.A. Salvatore was like one of my favorite authors.
Yeah, it's all written by R.A. Salvatore, you know, which is fine. There's like these gnomes that all talk in Scottish accents, but it's okay.
Why do gnomes always have stupid voices?
There's a lot of Scottish voice actors or American voice actors who are good at faking Scottish accents that, you know, they need to work. they gotta win some bread to feed their families. It's pretty overwrought, but it's okay. I think the world
overwrought
can afford,
fantasy is
yeah
okay.
the world yeah. the world yeah. can afford for some of its fantasy to be overwrought. Creature designed by Todd McFarlane, which means that even the things that are supposed to be cute are just horrifying.
Three-headed bunnies and
it plays like Fable, and I really did not want it to play like Fable. It's very action-y combat, kind of God of War style, but it's got all of the inventory management of something like a Skyrim. The interface is fucking atrocious. Like, it is so not suited for a PC.
Yeah, you said that you would prefer maybe to play it on a console or something.
Yeah, but I don't actually believe that. Okay. I don't think. Because I just wouldn't. I mean, it seems like the kind of game that you could put a lot of hours into. There's a bunch of open world stuff that, you know, you run around and you kill things with a sword or some magic, or a sword and some magic, which was pretty satisfying. There's one point at which the game, I am almost certain, told me that in order to use this feature that I had unlocked, which is this sort of core feature of the combat where you can start to fate shift dudes. There's a meter that you build up, and you can just start doing this stuff where you collect souls from things that are about to die or whatever. But the way that you use it is by holding down X while you move around with WASD and attack things by clicking the mouse. And I may have misunderstood this, because that... It seems impossible. Yeah, it seems like... Yeah.
I guess you have a pinky that you're not otherwise using.
Yeah, you...
You could maybe...
Yeah. It could be that when it said hold X, it just meant hold X for a second to launch this mode, and then you don't have to hold X anymore, by the way. Like, if it's the same as, like, clicking the stick versus holding in the stick for a second to do a thing in a console game or whatever. One thing that was really awesome, there was a skill that you could level up that was called, like, Find Hidden Treasures or whatever. And what it did, I think, as you leveled up, is it took various random objects that were just scenery and turned them into chests with stuff hidden in them. It wasn't like it let you see them from farther out. It like actually made it so there was more treasure in the world. Like hidden, like I've learned how to tell what's inside logs. And maple syrup.
This is not related at all, but I watched a couple of YouTube videos about some weird glitches in Skyrim, and it became apparent that it seems like what they do for NPCs in Skyrim is store the NPC's inventory, like especially like shopkeeper NPCs, in a chest like below the world. Because there were two instances that this guy had found a bunch of like bugs and stuff like that, where you can find a chest that's hidden under the landscape.
You can get outside the geometry and fall through the world.
And there's one place where the chest is just, if you just happen to know where to click in the world or like where to mouse over in the world, it's just there like behind a rock that you can just get to without any weird shit at all. And it's just the entire inventory of the NPC. Which resets every 2 days.
But it's not stealing to take it.
It's like it's a weird state. And it's like, like, I could sort of understand a way in which that makes some measure of sense as a designer. Mm-hmm. Like, well, you know, the easiest thing is before this, you know, instead of creating a new system for holding items, we'll just use chests that players can't get to.
It seems that if you were going to do that, you could maybe move it away from the world on a fourth spatial axis or something, right? Like, there's no need for it to actually be there. And especially, why was it a chest, right? Like, why was
it
not
literally a chest?
Why was it not this object that is actually just a single unclickable pixel that has all the same properties as
or,
a chest?
Like, it's so weird. It's a bunch of weird.
It was neat though to see under the hood a little bit. There was a weird thing. Speaking of whether this was stealable or not, like, once you've done the main quest line in the demo, it gives you 45 minutes to play in the open world aspects of it. And so, like, I don't know if you can get everywhere who knows? It was a 2 gig demo download. Wow. So I don't know how big the real thing is. I mean, if it's a console game, it's got to go on a, you know.
Yeah, you can get 10 gigs on a DVD, though.
You can get 10 rigs on 10 rigs.
And more on a Blu-ray.
On a Blu-ray. This woman is outside a church, and she's like,
is this a joke?
No, they won't let me. They won't let me become a priest. But I know that they're covering up the ancient tenets of this religion because I'm pretty. I saw this book that said they let women become priests back in the day. You should get this book for me so that I can prove that they're wrong. And so I went down into the reliquary where the book was stored, and I just was like, oh, there's the book, and there's some sparkles rising off of it, so I'm just going to run up to it and pick it up because that's clearly my quest objective. But too late, I realized that it was red, which indicated that I was stealing it. So stealing it caused everyone in the church to aggro on me, including the woman who asked me to steal the book and take it back to her.
Wow.
So I was just like, "What? Okay, cool quest, guys. Like, but
no one saw you steal it?
No. Somebody might. Well, I don't know, actually. Like, but it shouldn't matter, right? Like, hey, dude. My family's really hungry. Go steal me this loaf of bread. What the fuck, thief? Hey, everybody, this guy's a thief. Let me help you kill him.
I mean, unless it was a test and she was actually part of the church.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I just failed my Good Samaritan, my Bad Samaritan test. This is one of the things that they have to do. Women can become priests only if they become this vicious and manipulative. I mean, apparently, when dudes aggro on you, you can leave and eventually they'll settle down and not hate you anymore. But still, that's kind of bullshit, right?
Yeah.
Like, your quest giver aggros on you.
Yeah,
for,
that's annoying.
For doing exactly what you just told them to do. And it wasn't like, Tyler Durden gives you the quest. I want you to hit me as hard as you can, right? It was like, hey, go get me this book. Yeah. Could have been the wrong book, I guess. I don't know. I stopped playing after that.
Did you?
It's really pretty. There's a lot of herbs for you to collect.
Woo.
And
pick mushrooms?
Dudes to kill. Yeah, there's crazy shards of... It's very colorful. There's crystals that grow.
LSD?
Something. Sticky purple hairs coming off of various things.
Because if there's both herb and shrooms...
You can go to the Nugwood and collect me 8 dank nugs. I guess that's it. I played some more Star Wars.
Right.
I got surprisingly into The Assignment, though. So a lot of the time that I was playing video games at home, I spent playing The Assignment.
Yeah.
That was pretty much what happened to me.
But we're not at the assignment phase yet, so...
Tis true.
We'll be right back. Kevin, what's new?
Lots of little news items, especially in relationship to the video games. There was that crazy solar flare that's caused all the crazy northern lights.
Oh, yeah.
The past couple days.
Are there northern lights even so far as Ecuador?
No, it's not at the equator. But lots of like Norway pictures and stuff, Iceland stuff.
So there are northern lights in the places where there are always northern lights.
Well, they're not always northern lights there.
There's but just, when there are, they're always shaped like a bottle of Dos Equis.
Yeah. a couple of Blizzard announcements. One, that they're not having a BlizzCon this year, this calendar year.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying BlizzCon 2012 canceled, but like, yeah, you know, sometimes they just don't do a BlizzCon. That's what they can do when they got that big old swing.
They're not so set on like things being annual. I feel like they switched the date around a bunch. They're smarter at figuring out when to do that. They probably just were like, you know, we're going to have nothing to announce, so let's just not do
that. Yeah, nothing to announce and a bunch of pressure to get all this work done, and it takes up a bunch of everybody's time. And
yeah, I think it was a wise choice on their part.
I mean, even their sort of trenches employees that we're aware of, like BlizzCon just sort of, it throws everything in disarray for a while.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh yeah, and everybody's just been kind of fucking around, and like everybody, like BlizzCon is far enough away from the offices that like people don't, you know, everybody's leaving work early, and that's, you know, and what are you going to do?
Yep.
It's that kind of thing. It just takes up a bunch of space, cognitive space, calendar space.
Yep. You know, and it is great fan service. But you have to balance that with getting stuff done that the fans are going to pay you for, you know?
Yeah. Diablo 3, there was some news about some like these sort of really fundamental changes to the gameplay systems that they're doing.
Have they announced anything in terms of release?
No.
Okay, so they're still futzing with stuff.
So the changes that these articles mainly focused on were, so like I had played through the beta a while ago. I didn't realize this, but like they've been patching and changing the beta the whole time that we've had access to it, that we just haven't been messing with it.
I uninstalled it. Yeah,
I got a new computer in the intervening time. But I installed it again on Friday because they said they were going to release. They were trying to release the newest beta patch with all these changes that everybody's flipping out about for the weekend. They didn't get around to it until Monday night, so I played it some yesterday, and it's just not that big a deal. They got rid of the thing that lets you
sell stuff from inventory,
and the thing that lets you salvage stuff from inventory. But they also got rid of the need to salvage white items. Like, it used to be that when you had the blacksmith make stuff, it was made out of some shit you got from salvage white items, some shit you got from salvage blue items. But now there is only the blue stuff. Like, he just doesn't need any of the plentiful generic. It's like, you take the blue items back to town, you let the blacksmith salvage them, and then you use those parts to make new randomly generated
magic items. So you go to town on some items. Or with some
items. Yeah. Okay. You get at a certain point in the quest progression access to just a town portal button on your hotbar, so you don't have to carry town portal scrolls anymore.
Wow.
I mean, cool. It was basically the tome of town portal in Diablo 2, unless it was an occasional opportunity to be like, fuck, I left town without spending a trivial amount of gold on town portal scrolls.
Right.
And it was like a convenience with a -2 inventory space enchantment on it, right? So, like, why not just make it part of the thing?
Yeah.
They got rid of scrolls of identification, okay, and you just right-click on an item and it starts a little cooldown.
Oh.
So, like, you just have to be out of combat to do it. Which I don't particularly care about that. I mean, that was, again, like, fuck. I don't know what this thing is until I either go back to town and have Kane look at it, which is just like, all right, let's listen to this sound clip for the 30,000th time. I also, in playing all the way through the beta and then beating the boss 2 additional times to continue to level up, I found one thing that was unidentified. All of the blues were just automatically identified when they dropped, and I found one rare, like a yellow, that wasn't. And I don't know if that's their new thing or if there are blues that aren't identified anymore. They also totally reworked the way that the stats work on the characters and on items and stuff, which seems like a bigger change. It was in the patch notes.
But you didn't, like, it wasn't something you would have necessarily noticed.
No, none of this was anything that I noticed playing through. I would not, if you hadn't told me about these changes, I might have said, oh yeah, that weird Cauldron of Jordan thing was gone, and I actually had to go back to town to sell this stuff. But, like, it just did not change the way the game played at all.
Okay.
For all of the fucking...
Kvetching.
Comment kvetching, yeah, that's a good word for it. The kibitzing. the kibbles and bitsing. Yeah, but so I don't have a lot of confidence that Diablo 3 is coming out anytime soon. I think they are.
It's weird that they're messing around with these fundamental systems as much as they are.
I'm glad, you know, I'm glad that they're not afraid to do that.
Me too.
I'm not that excited about Diablo 3, though, playing it. You know, we get to see in the beta a really limited subset of the content, right? Like, there's only sort of one level generation schema act. And those the cathedral tile set thing, we've seen that a lot, you know, and it's just a bunch of that, and I think they're holding back on a lot of the like weird little events and stuff that can spawn, and I'm sure that it will be a lot more in the actual game. It will be a lot more peppered with more interesting breaks in the
there's gonna be a lot more variety for sure.
Yeah,
but the way that the character advancement works, I'm just not like, I gain a level and I just don't care. And that makes me concerned. That makes me concerned that I'm just not going to like the game.
Which is weird because I definitely enjoyed like leveling and being like, ooh, a new skill that I can try.
But you know? You can't really. So here's a thing that they've actually done. They're two different approaches to the skill build thing. They were just arbitrarily and instantaneously swappable. And what they realized is that people were just fighting with the skill panel open and swapping them out situationally in a single combat. So then they made it so you couldn't change skills unless you were standing near a Nephilim altar. And they put a Nephilim altar in town, and then they put one by one of the waypoints down in the cathedral, like before the boss fight, close to it, so you could get into your like single target DPS mode or whatever. They got rid of those, and now they've made it so when you swap out a skill, it puts that skill on a 30-second cooldown before you can use it. Or swap it out again, which is shitty. So if you accidentally hit the wrong button and assign a skill to right-click instead of left-click, you're like, oh, fuck. You have to wait a minute before you can use the new skill. Because you have to wait for the cooldown to
wait
pop,
for it again.
Then replace it, then wait for that cooldown.
It seems like you should just be able to replace it arbitrarily with it starting the 30-second timer.
Yeah, and I read three different threads where somebody suggested that, and no one else understood what they were talking about. They were like, no, if there's not the cooldowns, you're going to play with the you know, you're going to play with your skill panel open. And they said, no, I'm not suggesting getting rid of the cooldowns. I'm suggesting the cooldown not prohibiting you from replacing the skill in the slot, because when you make a mistake, it just seems it's really like you just have to sit there watching this little thing go around for a minute. And also on passives, there is a 30-second cooldown on swapping out passives, but the passive icons are not yet coded to have the little
timer
sweep thing on them. So you're like, oh, so I put in I accidentally clicked a passive trying to look at it, and I was like, the fuck, why can't I swap this out? And then I was like, huh. And I waited 30 seconds and then clicked it, and it just worked. Like, okay, that's weird.
Yeah.
You know, it's
them finding their place.
Yep, it's neat. It's neat seeing this process happen.
I'm fine
with that. What else?
Well, so BioShock, they have talked about something that they're doing for BioShock Infinite, which is they've called it 1999 mode, where you, unlike the sort of the direction that they've gone more and more with their games, where you can the choices aren't really permanent and don't have like a major like lasting impact on your character,
and there's not a lot of death penalty, and everything resource wise is pretty plentiful.
They are going to make the game like a serious hardcore mode where you make choices, and they have serious impact on like future options that you have. There's a lot fewer resources. Game is just much harsher, to the point where they're not going to make this mode available like in a menu that you can just select. They're going to hide it, and you have to figure out how to go outside the game onto the internet being like, how do I enable this? And it's going to be some like Konami code stuff to actually enable it.
That's cool. I think that if they do that, that will let them not have the Fallout New Vegas problem where all the teeth get knocked out of it before anybody actually gets to play it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, in New Vegas' case, it comes out in this developer, you know, post-release, post-employment developer mod that, you know, it's too late because I've already seen everything.
So, I mean, it's an interesting choice. You know, it's basically, there was a small subset of people who played the BioShock games who were like, this makes me sad because I'm not actually doing anything that's like permanent when I'm making choices throughout this game, and they wanted to satisfy those people but not their like much larger audience, which isn't going to want a game like that.
I mean, you know, there was a lot of flack about, at least among like the thinking people like us, in with BioShock's choices. It's like, all right, do I murder these babies to get 10 points, or do I rescue these babies to get 11 points later? Like, okay, cool. Cool Sophie's choice you've presented me with there, except this was like Sophie's choice. Do you want the delicious ice cream or the really delicious ice cream? Oh my God, I gotta know.
Something that I did this past week that I forgot to mention is I went to an ice cream shop.
I went to an abortion clinic.
Yeah. Ice cream shop that makes the ice cream in front of you with liquid nitrogen. It's kind of neat. Neat idea. It's kind of expensive and, you know, whatever. But the idea is cool.
Like you see them mix the cream and then ice it right in front of you.
You tell them what ingredients you want and they mix it together in a bowl. And then while they're mixing it together, they spray liquid nitrogen in there to cool it. And then you can tell them how hard you want the ice cream.
Oh, wow.
How much teeth
you
want.
How hard do you want it? How dry do you want it?
It's cool. It's a neat idea.
Can you get Smirnoff Ice cream?
I don't know. You could if you brought some of your own, maybe. Yeah.
I wonder if I want to get my girlfriend some of my special ice cream.
You might have to do that after hours.
You know, pineapple ice cream.
Yeah.
So Zynga. I feel like at this point, the internet reaction is coming around to the like, yeah, what did you expect? Like, this is not really a story, but like Zynga released a clone of a successful game. after trying to acquire Nimblebit and Nimblebit saying, no, we don't want to,
yeah,
we don't
want
you
to
buy
this
us.
This is exactly what they do.
Yeah,
they,
this is yeah, all that yeah. they have ever done. Like, yeah. Imagine this story, except about every single Zynga game ever, and then you've got the story of Zynga in your head. Like, I'm sure that their version of Tiny Tower is slightly eviler than Tiny Tower.
And with worse graphics.
It's more cartoony graphics. Instead of the 8-bit graphics that Tiny Tower has.
Yeah, it's not like pixel art. It's cel-shady, happy.
Yeah.
I mean, Tiny Tower is kind of bullshit. It's also, yeah, I don't know. But then somebody was like, so yeah, Nimblebit makes this GIF that gets passed around Reddit and everywhere that's like, oh, you know, look at this. And then somebody made one that is fake coming from a company that made a game that was extremely similar to Tiny Tower that came out a couple years before Tiny Tower. And was like, and it's like, the problem with this kind of thing is sort of like the problem with free speech, right? Like, I don't think you actually want a world in which you can't take something that somebody did in a video game and do it again in a video game, right? Because otherwise you end up with like a potential software patent kind of situation where you can't do, like somebody comes up with a really good idea and it is an idea that's so good that it just seems like it should be in everything from now on.
Hit points are red, so mana is blue.
It's blue, right?
If people could not have made clones of games, then we would not have had Saints Row.
And then we wouldn't have had
Saints Row 3.
And
which
it is not.
One
and it's not about making copies, right? So this doesn't go back to the like piracy or copyright argument. This is definitely more of a patent thing. Like the design of a game falls more under the realm of a patent than a copyright, and we just shouldn't let them do it. It shouldn't become a thing where there shouldn't be a law against doing what Zynga does. The way that the world should discourage Zynga from doing what they do is that people shouldn't give them any fucking money. Right, but like that's on us, not on our laws.
Everybody was bitching about the iOS Mario Kart clone for the same sort of situation, and you can't and don't want to stop that sort of development. It has to be possible.
It sucks that what happens is that, like, so, you know, it used to be that cloning a proven gameplay method was a way that a developer could get started, right? Yeah. Like, you know, get some money to seed, because actual innovation is fucking expensive, right?
Yes.
Like, it is a huge, huge risk, especially in an age where it's no longer like a guy on the weekends in a garage making a video game. I mean,
our
own story notwithstanding, but like generally, you don't. There are not very many stories like the story of Minecraft, right?
Sure.
But I mean, he was also a professional game developer because he did do some stuff in a garage on the weekends that made a little bit of money by being not particularly innovative. You know, and I mean, plus fucking Minecraft is like a copy of, you know, it's a clone of some other games, and people will criticize. Yeah, and people will criticize him. They're like, but no, man, because like the guy that made Infiniminer could have done this. He had all of the same advantages. The problem here is that Zynga has more advantages than somebody else trying to. And what's the company that's just notorious for doing this on iOS? Gameloft.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like Gameloft, like anybody could have made a WoW clone on iOS. Their considerable resources sort of guarantee they're going to be first to market on it. Zynga, talking to the guys that we know who went to Zynga, they call it a fast follow.
Yeah.
They don't call it a copy. They don't call it a clone.
I mean, it's a different game a little bit here and there. It's not like they stole code. It's like they wrote the whole thing from the ground up.
Yeah. They looked at it and
I'm surprised nobody complains about all the Bejeweled clones all over the place, because that's the same thing.
Tetris is pretty heavily
Tetris
protected.
Yeah, I don't know how.
Tetris is patented,
right?
Really? Like the Game Boy Tetris has a bunch of patent numbers on the title screen, Right. Yeah. And it was very, like, there was a lot of, like, really litigious, sort of litigious bullshit going on in the early days. Like,
getting the rights from the Russian developer.
There was an NES version of Tetris that turned out to not be, like, they had to stop selling it.
Yeah.
Because the license agreement wasn't for real, as it turned out. It wasn't made by the actual license holders or whatever.
There was a bunch of duplicitousness in getting that representation.
And we don't want that to... We don't want that to happen to the idea of hit points. We don't want that to happen to the idea of a building whose rooms have different functions, right? Like, we don't want a definition to be broad enough that it would encompass both of those games when they are entirely different code bases, entirely different sets of things that are going on within those code bases. And content, right?
Like, it's, when people steal sound effects or art assets or writing outright or code outright, then I feel like
that's
should
a different
be.
Story. Sure, yeah. definitely.
But if you come up with all of your own things and all you're doing is taking the overall structure and sort of mimicking that,
it's the problem with free speech. You know, you say, oh, okay, I believe in free speech, except that I don't think the Klan should be allowed to have a rally where they say, "Let's kill all the black dudes." But, like, you know, you kind of have to put up with that if you actually want this principle.
I mean, we don't, to hold. To be fair.
Right, we don't with that particular example. But, like, let's say somebody who's not saying, "Let's kill all the black dudes," somebody who's saying, like, "Accept Jesus into your heart." Right. You know, like, you can't make it illegal for a guy to yell at you about Jesus if you want to be able to, you know, talk about SpongeBob.
Right.
It's the same thing.
It is the same thing. What's this about Minecraft Legos?
Yeah.
There's like a month or two ago that I saw.
They were talking about prototype stuff.
Lego has a site where people can float ideas for new Lego series. And the Minecraft one got like tens of thousands of hits really quickly. So they moved it to the next phase of production, which is where I guess the real official Lego project guys sat on it and talked about it and discussed it to see if it was something they maybe wanted to do. And it has passed that level of looking at and been sent on to Lego developers to actually prepare a real project out of it.
The thing that honestly makes me most excited about this is the idea of basic Lego sets becoming popular again. Hmm. Because the very first Lego set I got was just a bunch of blocks.
Yeah.
There was nothing that you were supposed to make out of it. It wasn't like a little model that you...
I know, when we were kids, people used their imagination.
It was just a box full of blocks.
We didn't have any red tube.
And so I think they might sell this in certain kinds of sets that you can make something out of, but like the pieces are so basic that you can just build whatever.
Just
and
kids,
that's kind of
awesome.
Going
to be so expensive to have enough of them to do anything interesting that I don't know how excited about it I am. Like, if you could...
$100 is 1,000 blocks, which you can do a lot of stuff with.
Well, it's 1,000 blocks, but then if it's Minecraft, right, that means there are 100 dirt blocks and 100 stone blocks, and it's quickly gets to the point where it's like, if you can't custom order them, you're not gonna, you know,
maybe there's a $250 set that is, you know, 100 of each of the blocks. I don't know.
Sure, but I, you know, who knows? Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's cool. Maybe it's cool.
Yep, I think it'll be cool. I think it's gonna be cool.
Be fun for somebody. I don't know that I want any. It depends on how big the blocks are too, because maybe they're not 10 cents a block, right? Maybe they
could be smaller.
Maybe they are
Duplo
smaller
blocks.
Than a regular Lego.
Well, they're
smaller than a short 1x1.
The ones that I saw were like the 2x2s.
Okay,
roughly, because they're basically supposed to be cubes, right? I think they were slightly taller than.
It's also a little weird because you can't connect them side to side like you can in Minecraft. You know, unless they look really weird
with glue.
Okay. Right, so you could also just make these out of wood yourself and connect all of them with glue.
True, you could. Some glue and some paint, maybe.
Yeah. And the guy who made the music for VVVVVV has a new album.
I believe, if I'm not misremembering, I kind of failed in writing it down, but I think it's called Adventure. It's pretty good. It's
this is unrelated to any video games?
No, about half of it is remixes of the VVVVVV music, but the other half I think is new stuff. It's all good stuff. It's up to the standards of the VVVVVV soundtrack.
Cool.
All right. So this assignment, The Fool's Errand.
Oh, yeah.
I was surprised that we got to actually able to play it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I had to run a weird Mac emulator.
Yeah, I ended up running the... I wasn't using the emulator you guys were using. I used the old school, like, the Mac emulator that you had to download a bunch of stuff. And
the
then,
Mac and Me emulator.
Yeah, VMac, I think it was called.
Runs on Coca-Cola.
I had to jump through a lot of weird hoops to get it to work because there is stuff in the new... systems that meant that you couldn't modify HFS disk images, so I couldn't actually put the files on a disk, so I had to find some conversion stuff and then find the hidden secret upgrade to that conversion stuff, and eventually I got it to work, though. And I could have just played it all with the DOSBox VGA graphics or whatever, but
yeah, but
having
the PC
played
one
it,
has shittier graphics. Yeah,
it's a lot lower resolution. And having played the original back in the day, I kind of wanted the old graphics that I remember.
It is ironic to me that it was much easier for me to play it on a Windows machine because I could get a Mac emulator on a Windows.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, he links to that Mac emulator and then gives you a fucking registration code and serial number to it. Like, oh, okay. Like, this seems totally above board.
The guy, to be fair, the guy was like, stopped developing it in 2006 and was like, I don't care anymore.
Okay. So, yeah. No, I mean, I figured that was more or less what was going
still,
on.
Jesus.
It was surprisingly not hard to get it.
Yeah,
going.
On the Windows, it was not hard at all.
I didn't get to the real meat of it, apparently. No, I didn't. I didn't want to just look at spoilers for the Suns map. Even knowing how it worked, like the inability in the game to look at the scroll and the map at the same time was really annoying.
A lot of flipping back and forth.
And that, I didn't even know about Command M and Command R.
Yeah, I was just clicking back and forth between the two. Yeah. It was definitely slow.
I didn't know that there was a keyboard shortcut there. But also, sort of understanding how the scroll clued to the path on the map, but not having any idea where the map started.
That was my big insight. Honestly, because I put a bunch of pieces of the map together just by the images. I had put, you know, probably over half of the pieces together with at least one other piece. But it was like, how does all this, like, there's too many things that like sort of look like they fit. And then realizing that one of the images is exactly the same image that you start the game with. It's that cliff with the sun.
Yeah. Plus there's two, that one and the one where the road ends in a heart. Those are the only two ends of the path.
Right. But
where
on the board does that, the cliff one go?
That's,
and it's like, that was like
a pain in the ass.
And once you start getting them together,
you have to start.
Like,
that is what I was saying.
Fuck,
it's
not
a
like a rectangle
to move anymore.
It's not, like if the pieces stuck together once they were in the right place, then that would be like.
It was a huge mess.
It wasn't until I got to that point where I was like, all right, this is bullshit and I don't want to do this. All of the puzzles up to that point seemed pretty fair.
I mean, it was a mess, but I found it a satisfying mess.
Once I realized that I was making progress, like I knew it had to go somewhere closest to the middle, so I was able to move everything else that I had already constructed out to the sides, and then I had to move that around a fair bit when I finally figured out where everything went. But like it was kind of a hassle. I agree with you that like that the implementation of that, like having the ability to move those pieces off of the freaking 9x9 board would have made all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
or, you know, printing it out and cutting it into physical pieces of paper.
Thought about
and
doing
then
that.
Hoping that you didn't accidentally rotate one.
Yeah.
And forget.
I thought about doing that. But
I mean, I guess they mostly had right side up text on them somewhere.
Yeah,
but
not all of them, though.
Yeah. So I didn't get to the post map portions of
that
the puzzle.
That sucks. That's where it really got fun.
Did you guys get spoilers for any of the puzzles?
I got spoilers for the three puzzles where you have to click the buttons in the right order to assemble a sentence.
That's surprising to me because those were fun puzzles of that first section at all.
They were interesting, but they were the last three puzzles I had to do before I could
deal with the map,
and I didn't have the patience to work it out properly because
logic puzzles.
I did the two that didn't involve any reversals, and I got spoilers on the ones that did have reversals because I was like, once one of the buttons reverses the sentence, then that gets too complex for me to hold the thing in my head.
I mean, what I ended up doing was just playing with the pieces until I recognized what the phrase was probably going to be, and then working backwards from that. And that made a big difference in solving it.
I got spoilers on all of the ones where you had to pick which of the buttons to toggle on to make the mask that displayed the letters in the middle of the screen, because fuck that. Like, that was just the opposite. I played with it for a while.
Yeah, I just toyed with that just by... not by rote, but I just clicked them on and off until it looked good.
And, yeah, I turned everything on, and then one by one, I would go through and just toggle one on and off and be like, okay, it looks more like something there than not. And so keep going through, and one by one, you do that, and then you'd go through it again, and you just keep refining it until it begins to look like something.
Yeah, I didn't ever stumble on a method for doing it.
Yeah.
Also, there was one that I was entirely stuck on until you pointed out that one that I had solved before. There was the ones where it's just like there's a phrase that you have to type in and just a picture, right? Mm. I solved the first one of those based on the text and the scroll, right? And not realizing that the answer was hidden somewhere on the picture, which you had to mouse over it and some letters
that
would pop, like
that happened to me by accident. Those were the last ones that I solved, and I was like, what the fuck am I supposed to do here? And just by mousing over stuff, I started clicking on stuff at random, and then just happened to notice that something popped up as a letter, and I was like, oh.
It got really messy once you got to the High Priestess thing, and where you had to actually bring the keys in from other puzzles and stuff like that. It seemed like once it started getting kind of meta, where it was, and even I had to get a spoiler on the death puzzle too.
Which one was that?
The one where you had to click on the white button without moving your mouse off of the bottom of the screen. Oh. You had to do it by opening the menu and getting it down there. And I was like, I don't think that I ever would have figured that out.
It was very reminiscent of a flash puzzle that I had done once.
Where you had to use the right click menu to get
to
the
pause
mouse
the game
moved around.
And then you would, so that's. When I realized that that would work, I tried that and it worked. But once you complete the map, though, what happens is that there become a bunch of activatable areas on the map that you get to put answers into, and then those give you the treasures. And then there's like eight, I think there's eight things on the map that you like interact with to give you treasures. And then there are six more puzzles that are just sort of hidden in the text of the book that you have to just figure out what they're looking for, and they're of varying kinds. A lot of anagramming, but overall it was pretty fun and fair, and I thought that would, like,
did you beat the entire thing on your own?
Not a single spoiler.
Both of you did,
well, yeah, except you for those three. Yeah,
huh.
yeah,
I did not get nearly as into it as you guys did then.
Yeah, it took more hours than I thought it was going to, because the first getting to the map, finishing the map, was probably like 4 hours, and then probably two or three more hours after that.
It makes me nostalgic. I'm going to have to play 3 and 3 now, because that was the one that I played a lot more than Fool's Errand when I was a kid.
It's nice that he's just made them available free for download.
Yeah.
It's rough that it's dependent on the tech in the ways that it is.
Yeah.
You know, that goddamn High Priestess thing where you had to click on the numbers in descending order. Like,
oh,
I don't know. I don't know if that was as hard running on
I never
contemporary
got that far
hardware
when I was a kid, so I don't know what that was like on real hardware.
I just, like, fuck that. When I realized there was no penalty for not clicking on a number, like for making a mistake, I just started clicking randomly until I got down to the last two or three.
That's what I ended up.
Fuck that noise.
Doing that too.
And the following the path drove me fucking crazy, where you had to click the thing and like,
yeah, I eventually just took a screenshot, and I took a screenshot of the path when it was showing it to you, and then just did it. You're not talking about the one where you had to memorize the path?
No. I was talking about the
maze with the teleporters.
No, the one where you had to,
like, that snake made up of the eye tile that
and you had
winds
to,
around.
You had to hold pulled the thing back all the way back, and if you fell off the path at all, it would just go back to the beginning.
I think we are talking about the same thing.
I don't know. Like you're talking
about the one where you've got like a square grid and you have to trace.
Yeah, this was not a square grid. This was like almost a random ribbon.
The one that
path
was like the little tiles that were all on top of each other. Yeah, that did kind of suck. Because the control was
just
shitty.
The
thing would jump
enough
out in front of your mouse all the time. All right. Yeah. Serious question for you guys. What the fuck is a Bobo Link?
I don't know.
I don't know what you're referring
the,
to.
In the word search, in the bird word search, I had right. all but one, and I was like, "What am I missing here?" And I went through very carefully, and I was like, "What?"
I'm pretty sure. Also, there's no country called Romania.
I don't know.
I mean, that could be a Romanian word for Romania, right? Like, but like Bobolink, like
it's probably a real bird.
It is. But... I looked it up. It's some kind of tiny North American bird, right? But it's like not
at all on even the same sort of realm of recognizability as
like a sparrow or a swallow. Like I was like. The only possible missing one has to be owl, and I kept finding things that were sort of like owl.
Well, because there were what was frustrating to me was that there were subsets of other answers that were valid answers, right? Like, I think owl was one of them. Right?
Oh, really?
And yeah, like, because I think it was in the colors. There was one that was like a subset of one that was like red, and I was like, okay, well, red is clearly not the right answer, but it's, you know, it's on there because it's part of another answer. So I feel like he should have just been more careful about choosing answers that wouldn't have subsets.
Also, fuck a word search, man. Like that was just a bullshit task that you had to perform. That was not a puzzle.
Did you do the last word search the way that you're supposed to?
By finding the clues
and following
the
directions?
I tried to do it before finding that, and I was like, I don't see it, and then left, and then saw in the scroll and figured it out.
I figured out what the answer was supposed to be, and just clicked on those letters in the word search.
You brute forced it?
No, well, it wasn't really a brute force. I just realized what the answer should be based on like the because I had most of the other answers, and so I knew what some of the ones were, and I was like, what is a four letter treasure thing? And I was like, if it starts with J, I know what the treasure part is. And I think I know what the other part is. And so I just typed out those letters on the thing, and that solves it, even if they're not the right letters.
Typing it. Okay, huh.
Even if they're not the right letters.
Oh, interesting.
So that was...
Wait, a four-letter word that starts with J that is a treasure?
Yeah.
Jarb?
Yeah, it's jarb.
Okay. What? No, what is it?
Jade.
Oh.
Right? Because all the other ones...
That's like soap.
The treasures are like, you know, silver things or crystal things or gold things, you know, like...
Mm.
Yeah. You like figuring out what the answer was supposed to be and then back solving from that was extremely powerful. Helpful in a lot of these puzzles. So
yeah,
I hope the sequel is good.
It got me thinking.
It's supposed to come out in September.
Maybe.
Yeah, we'll see.
About whether or not puzzles are good.
Good puzzles are good.
Yeah, good puzzles are good, but good puzzles are hard. And, I think the fact that this is a game that is just comprised of puzzles is fine. I think that there are a lot of things in this game that if I had encountered them in as a part of some other game, I would have thought they were total horseshit.
I feel like this game had some puzzles, and it also had a bunch of annoying tasks.
Yeah.
And those are not what I would consider puzzles.
I think only the word searches to me. Well, okay. And that clicking the numbers in that order.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch that didn't require thinking, that just required you to do something. Yeah. And you realize very quickly what that was to do. And it was just annoying.
The mazes would have been okay if the controls had been better. If you just controlled it with like, you know,
I liked the maze at the end with the little, with all the,
treasure stuff.
I didn't get that far.
By that point, I realized that I could just hold the mouse down and move the thing with the mouse that way, and that worked.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dragging it around.
Yeah.
What were you doing before?
Clicking
then?
Where I wanted
it
to go.
That sounds terrible.
It does really fast, really shitty pathfinding, and in the ones where it's like sometimes a wall will open up, you just end up backtracking by accident a lot of the time.
Super annoying.
Yep. Anyway, I'm glad that I played it as much as I did.
It was a thing.
I kind of want to just load that guy's save with the Sun's map already solved, because I'm just really not interested in solving it, and then try to solve the...
Yeah, you should. You should do it tonight before you forget about it entirely and it just fades into the mists.
Right.
Because the game will crash when you complete the Sun's map, which sucks.
That does suck.
All
right, so next week's assignment.
Yeah.
This might, depending on how long these things take, end up being a two-week assignment.
Sure.
Because we're not sure. But we're going to do Neptune's Pride, which is a web-based game that I don't know if it is... I don't know how easy it's going to be for us to arrange games within the Video Games Hot Dog community for free. I have already given them some money, so I know that I can create some custom games that, you know, I can set up for some people. We'll try before the show gets released... We will go look at it, see what we need to do, try and figure out what the best way to do it is, and then post something in the forums so that people can. And I mean, it might be a thing where we have to have people post their email addresses and we have to invite them into a game or something.
Or they can PM them to us. They don't have to post them.
But, sure. Yeah. But yeah, we'll figure it out. But Neptune's Pride, it's a cool game. I've only played one game of it because
it's a very slow paced. It's play by email-y simulator. It's like it's theoretically a 4X game. I don't know if that's actually true.
Yeah, you research technologies and you expand, fight. You fight dudes and you expand and you extrapolate.
Exterminate. Is exterminate one of the X's?
I think so. Okay. Explore, expand, expand. Exterminate. expunge.
Exterminate. Okay.
Exfoliate.
Yeah. Cool. That was a sweet name in search of a genre to shoehorn it in as a description
4X.
Of
4X.
Yeah. Games like Master of Orion.
Yeah. Moo-like.
How about some listener mails, guys?
How about it?
Scott Neal writes, Evil Genius is, in my opinion, a very fun game that just isn't finished. It crashes a lot and is really buggy, and a lot of the core gameplay is like the traps doesn't work quite right. In addition, the AI and pathing on your minions is terrible, and sometimes, like if there is a fire in your base, a minion might run past 6 fire extinguishers to get to one all the way across the base for no apparent reason. There's so many minor frustrations that the game can be very hard to enjoy. That said, still very entertaining if you can get past all the annoyances. The developer, Elixir Studios, went under shortly after the game was released, which might have something to do with the fact that the game was rushed. Yep. So that's that guy's feedback on Evil Genius.
I've not played it at all.
It came up when we were talking about Dungeon Keeper.
Right. Dwarf Fortress.
Drongo writes, comment really. You were talking about the creeps on a recent-ish podcast, and Jake made the comment that he thought not all the levels were solvable. That's incorrect. I've managed to get perfect on hard on all the levels after coughing up for the all-you-can-eat bonus levels pack. There are certainly some which are not easy and require a fair bit of strategizing, but I see that as a big positive for the game, whereas having impossible achievements would be very negative. Yeah, I didn't know that there were, like, achievements. Are there game center achievements for beating every level on hard, maybe? There wasn't ever anything that explicitly told me that it was possible. So one thing that I keep forgetting is that it used to be the case, I think, that you couldn't get perfect on a level if you sold any towers. And I think now you can, which would change it a lot. Like having your initial set of like scenery busting towers not constrain you to
the final
have that space
game.
Taken up. In the end game, would be a little different. But no, thank you. That's good to know. Like, that gives me a new sort of frustrating perspective on the thing.
Yeah, see, now you can feel the same way about that I feel about Amazing Breakers. Yeah. Yeah.
In related news, he says, I am now done with that, at least until the next level pack. So what similar-ish games should I play next? Amazing Breaker.
Well, no, okay. If you're into tower defense games...
Geo Defense.
Yeah.
Geo Defense Swarm.
Are the two major ones. If you haven't played Tiny Heroes, you should consider Tiny Heroes. It's not a standard tower defense game, but it's kind of a tower defense game.
It's more Plants vs. Zombies-y kind of.
There is
Tower Defense Lost Earth, which Kevin got really into.
Yeah, I beat that one.
I think Field Runners is okay.
Yeah, Sentinel was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a couple other iOS tower defense games that I did not like as much, so I'm not going to recommend them.
About Skyrim, Jonathan Semiow writes, Hey guys, public health. I don't know if anybody already told you this, but if you equip a pickaxe as a weapon and swing it at an ore node enough times, you can mine it without the annoying animation. It takes 9 or 10 swings to deplete a node, although sometimes it doesn't register a hit, so you have to keep whacking away. You can even dual-wield picks for even faster mining. Anyway, good luck with Skyrim if you haven't gotten tired of it by the time you get this.
It is. So something that I've noticed is that it takes exactly 3 hits to get your first ore. Mm-hmm. You hit 3 more times, you have a chance of getting a second thing, which is often a gem. And then you hit 3 more times and you'd get the final ore and deplete it.
What I've noticed, at least in the PS3 version, is that you still get ore on the second set of 3. It just doesn't pop up the thing that says you got it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Huh, I think it's weird. I think it's rolling to see if you get something bonus, and if you don't get the bonus thing, it just doesn't report it at all. Yeah. That would explain why I've gotten a lot more ore from places than I thought I was getting. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Cool.
Daniel White says, how does one go about storing Arkham Horror in a way that doesn't make the setting up and tearing down of games more terrifying than the cosmic horrors themselves, particularly for introducing newcomers?
Get somebody to write an iPad version of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Arkham Horror takes so much brutal. Fucking setup that's
not worth it.
It's just, you just don't play it. Like, that's...
Their iPad implementation of Elder Signs was so good, I really, really hope that they're working on an Arkham Horror version.
Although, I have not continued to play it. Really?
I mean, I haven't either, but not out of boredom or anything. It just hasn't come up.
The fact that there's only one of the Elder Gods in it, like it's...
But the one that makes the most sense, given...
Given that otherwise they would have to have an entirely different game system. So that you can fight the guy.
Yeah, no, sure.
I mean, I think this is why we keep playing games like... Betrayal at House on the Hill, because the setup is almost nothing, because you are building the board as the first half of the game.
You're doing the setup on the as
which
the game
is
played, which
such
is
a
great.
such a good way of getting that.
You know, Arkham
thing.
Horror is way less randomized in some ways, but Arkham Horror also just suffers from this thing where a thing that should be a fucking book that you roll a die and look something up on a table is 400 individual decks of like three cards each, which is just like, come on, guys. Like, I get that people like a lot of little decks of cards. You already had a lot before you added 400 more. So it's you're not making it less cool. Ugh. Benjamin Lewis writes, I think Jake especially will appreciate this video comparison. Zach will appreciate this video comparison of the NES Castlevania and its sequel. And then he linked to it. But if you do a YouTube search for sequelitis Castlevania, it is a good video, and I watched it today, and I would like you guys to watch it before the next show so that we can talk about it, and we can make a note to talk about it on the next one, because he brings up some points where he contends that maybe the latter day Metroidvania games that are so lauded and that we like so much are not very good, for the same way that Castlevania 2, for the same reasons that Castlevania 2 was not very good. And he makes some interesting points. I don't know that I agree a lot of them, but it's a good video.
We've played a bunch of Metroidvania games,
I know,
and found that the later ones are more enjoyable, better design.
I know, buddy, and that's why this video is interesting. It challenges our assumptions. It shook me. It shook me to my very fucking core.
Okay. I don't know,
buddy,
if I'm ready for that.
No,
Jelly.
It's not. It doesn't make me. It does not make me like them any less. The most fun that I ever had with one of the sort of modern Game Boy Advance or DS Castlevania games was when I was like really, really sick, and I got like some prescription codeine cough syrup and just laid in bed with a heating pad on and a DS getting 100% on Portrait of Ruin. Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
100%ing that. And then a couple years later, I was able to do it again because I didn't remember any of it. The rest of the questions that I've got on this sheet of questions that I printed out are a little too thought-provoking for the amount of time that we have left on this here episode of this here Video Games Hot Dog podcast. Kevin, if somebody wanted to send us a question, an email, a comment, a voicemail.
Yep.
Postcard.
A postcard. How would they do it?
I don't actually know our voicemail number. Actually, that's not entirely true.
Roy218Zach.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you want to leave us a voicemail, you can try, although the odds of it actually ever getting on the show are slim to none.
Oh, come on. I love voicemails.
Every 2 months, you probably will go and check it.
Once every 2 months, there are enough voicemails to do a show with some voicemails.
So go ahead and try.
Go to advicehotdog.com, part of the Hot Dog Network, available at gog.gogcock.hotdognet.com, and look up the phone number, which is Roy218Zach, and I don't remember what numbers those correspond to. Anyway, Kevin, continue.
You can tweet at us.
Nobody ever does.
That's not true.
At VG Hot Dog.
Once in a while.
Yeah, we get tweets. You just don't read them anymore.
Fine.
You can email us.
Why are you being so discouraging to our user base?
No, but Twitter is a decent way of getting in touch with us, actually. Email is apparently the best way.
VG. Yeah, most of these. Well, it's a good long form question asking.
That's true. Twitter, you're limited to much smaller subset of things. Although,
so mostly you can ask things like, how big are your boobs, lol?
Yeah. Which, you could have asked three more characters of maybe even four if you used a space. If you didn't use that lol. How big are your boobs? email, vghotdog@gmail.com. And all of this information and more, like our forums, which are a good place to hang out. You can find that at videogameshotdog.com.
All right. Well, this has been a good show. I've enjoyed hanging out with y'all fellas and talking about the video games, and I can't wait until the next episode of Video Games Hot Dog, coming at you in probably around a week or so.
Yeah, I hope we're not all hating each other because we're destroying each other's space empires.
Yeah, I think we will. I think that this is going to get nasty.
It's entirely possible.
Neptune's Pride involves a lot of
treachery.
A lot of backdoor a lot of backdoor finagling. Yeah, I know.
It's a lot of like making deals and then breaking them at the opportune moment and stuff like that.
The one game that I played seriously, I did not ever break any deals with anybody, but I ended up coming in second.
Right, which was, I felt okay about.
Second out of eight dudes.
Sure.
That's worse than first.
One dude.
Better than third.
Better than six dudes.
Man, I might as well not even try.
Don't say that.
Good night, everybody.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
See you later. Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Huh. I don't want a mouth on my butt.
Like ever? Yeah, that's, I'm, yeah, okay.